Hi everyone, how are we doing? It's Tuesday the 5th of March and we are the Celtic Way with your morning briefing. Thanks for spending a little bit of your Tuesday morning with us. I am Hamish, we've got Tony here as well. Almost certainly not to go over all of the same disciplinary stuff as yesterday, Tony. We definitely won't be doing that, will we?
No, we won't. We won't. But the one thing I will say is I've written a piece on it today and I'll put it in the comment section there and you can make up your own mind as to
As if by magic.
Yeah.
Did you line that one up?
I had indeed cut and pasted it. I get these things right, Hamish, technology wise. You know, your old dad's on the ball, but yeah.
Unlike John Beaton, eh?
Well, he's the thrust of the piece, let me say that. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, yeah. Have a read at that, guys. You can enjoy it.
Right, there are a couple of developments that we do have to talk about. I do mean it that we're not going to spend this whole video discussing Sunday's stuff because, quite frankly, I kind of want to move on and never think about it again. However, there are a couple of things I want to talk about. Obviously, Celtic have released a statement. We did it yesterday saying that we would be appealing the red card that was shown to Hyunjun Yang. The club say they have also written to the SFA to raise serious concerns regarding the use of VAR and the decisions made within the match. The statement finished as saying, as we have said before, for some time Celtic has sought to work with the footballing authorities with the aim of improving standards associated with refereeing and the use of VAR in Scotland. So what do you think? First of all, chances of this being overturned, what's your thoughts?
None.
Yeah, agreed.
I don't think it'll get overturned just because I think it should get overturned, but I don't think it will. Celtic may run the risk of inflicting more damage or they add to it, but you've got to ask. You've got to preach your case.
Aberdeen last year, he got a game added on, I think, so it is a risk.
Yeah, and you've got to plead your case, and I think you take the dossier of the week before with a high foot and no. And a couple of other games previous to that, Celtic, there was one at Aberdeen as well, wasn't there? There was a high boot at Pittodrie and what went unpunished. So you can only plead your case, but I have to say, I think they're fighting a losing battle on that one. But what I will say is, in terms of the VAR, I think when Rangers asked for the audio, they get allowed to listen to it, didn't they? So I think Celtic should ask for the audio, certainly in private, and be allowed to hear that. I don't think the audio tapes were released to the public, but I think Celtic are perfectly within their rights to ask for the audio from Sunday to hear the conversations that were had between John Beaton and Don Robertson with regards to those two big decisions that were game-changing. Because I believe Rangers heard the audio and then issued a statement via one of their media partners, didn't they? And the SFA hit back at them saying that's
actually... Is this the derby you're talking about?
Yeah, the derby, yeah. With Colin. So Rangers asked for the audio and they were allowed to hear it privately, but then for some reasons unknown to everybody, they decided to release a statement to one of their media partners, and then the SFA had to hit back saying they, you know, that it was wrong, yada, yada, yada. But I think privately Celtic should be able to ask for that audio and listen to it and then hear what was said and then make up their minds from that. I think that's fair, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not imagining that the SFA did release VAR audio earlier this season, didn't they? It was at the year point of VAR being in for a year, I'm sure. In conjunction with Sky Sports, they released a number of clips similar to what you saw down south with Howard Webb.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you know, they definitely did that before a game this season. So they can clearly do that. I mean, I'm not expecting the VAR to be released with regards to Sunday, but I would question, you know, why wouldn't you? I mean, there's nothing to hide there, you would hope, so...
Yeah, well, if you don't do it publicly, I think Celtic have got every right to hear it, though. I think Brendan Rodgers and the board and the management team have got every right to hear it, because they are the ones that they've criticised, and Celtic need to be able to build their case around this if Rodgers is cited, and there's every suggestion to say that he will be cited. Certainly, if you're going to have a word with them, from what we're hearing about those comments, but you have to say that you'll probably get cited, won't you? Because I don't think you're allowed to name officials by name.
Yeah, well,
that's part of the rules, isn't it? So
yeah,
Yeah, I think he's banged to rights on that one, to be fair. So I mean, I'm expecting him to get cited. So might find he might be in the stand for the Ibrox game.
It's really not ideal. I think the ban could range from anything from 2 to 20 games. That was the second bit I wanted to mention, that the SFA's compliance officer, Martin Black, is aware of the comments made by Brendan Rodgers, said to be in contact with Celtic over the matter. Now, the SFA rules, I'm not reading out the whole thing because it's very wordy, but basically the issue is you can't criticise a match official in such a way as to indicate bias or incompetence. Incompetence is a key bit here. Brendan Rodgers literally said the word incompetence about 5 or 6 times over his interviews. So, as you say, bang to rights there. I would expect him to be cited in some way. You would just hope that they'd, I don't know if they do this, but you'd hope that they'd take his previous or his lack of previous kind of similar incidents into account, because I can't ever imagine Brendan Rodgers being up in the stand for a game throughout his career. I mean, I could be wrong, but you would hope they'd take that into account, because if we miss him for a big game, it'd be a blow.
He was asked that on Sunday. Was it the worst kind of refereeing decisions that he's ever been involved in? And he said it's certainly up there. But he also mentioned the point that everybody in the room knew him from the first time, and he's never, ever came out and been as scathing as that about referees. So must have really, really pushed him to the limit to actually come out and use those words. And because, to my knowledge, when he was a Swansea manager, Liverpool manager, Celtic manager, first time round, and Leicester manager, I've never ever heard them have a go at officials. It's just not his shtick. And but on Sunday, he had something to say, didn't he? Because he said it to every broadcaster. He said it to Sky, he said it to BBC, he said it to the print journalists and online journalists when he came in and spoke to us in the press room. So he was clearly the heat of the moment, emotional, and was annoyed. So, but as it's the use of the word incompetence, which is going to land them in the dock, isn't it? Basically, you can't deny that. You know,
we can use it though. And I mean, the performance was incompetent, wasn't it, from John Beaton?
Of course, we can use it. Well, yeah, I mean,
get a letter from the SFA tomorrow, Tony. You'll be banned.
We're on a podcast, and we give opinions. You know, you don't have to agree with it. And plenty of people won't, but. That to me was an incompetent display. And do you know what gets to me? That there's no sanction against John Beaton or Don Robertson for getting 3 big calls wrong. Next week they will still be refereeing the same big games and going to top flight football matches. There should be a demotion period for, I don't know, a month or something. Or, you know, you take them out the equation altogether and you just don't give them any games of football. But there's no recourse for them, there's no punishment for them, and they can go around still being incompetent and making the same mistakes. And I've made the point that Celtic's penalty on Sunday to me wasn't a penalty either, so I'm not just it's and the referees, I've written it in that piece that's on the website, they're bogging for every Scottish Premiership club, but I watch Celtic every week, and so my focus is on that, and my focus was on Sunday. But every club's got a litany, and I've said this before, I'm never a big, conspiracy theorist, but my goodness, referees in Scotland are shambolic. And everybody who's suddenly thinking that Dermot Gallagher's the all-seeing eye as well, he's never slaughtered a referee yet. So he always sides with the referee. So I'm not buying that narrative either. I know what I witnessed on Sunday. Plenty of people disagree with that, Hamish. You know what you witnessed. Plenty of people disagree with it. Doesn't make us wrong.
Yeah, Dermot Gallagher also has 2 accents, one that he puts on for TV, so I wouldn't be judging that guy in anything. Why do you think the club are appealing this Yang red carding? Because I think I've not seen one person who actually thinks we'll win it. I don't think it'll be overturned. Is it a case of really backing Brendan Rodgers? Kind of adding to that whole siege mentality here?
I think it is, and I think they've had enough, Hamish. I think this is the kind of two that have broken, the straws that have broken the camel's back. They've had enough. Because I don't think since the introduction of VAR in Scottish football, and correct me if I'm wrong, but no team has been shafted more than Celtic. And I use the word shafted deliberately. From handballs to goals being offside with no lines, cameras going missing, or, you know, stuff like that. I mean, the very first day, Michael Smith. Yeah. I mean, someone has to still explain the one that Ange Postecoglou had his head in his hands, and then you take it to Goldson's at Ibrox, playing like Harlem Globetrotter, and people can talk on themselves, as the former manager said, doing verbal gymnastics to convince you that it wasn't a penalty. You know, so there's a whole litany of, you know, the Fir Park goal where the lines went missing or the camera was trained in a flat somewhere in Lanarkshire. you know what I mean? So there's, you know, and other clubs will say the same thing and other club supporters will say the same thing. But Burnaby's handball, when he's not looking at it against Dundee United, the one that bounces up against Matt O'Reilly, you know, so take your pick. You know, since VAR's been introduced over a year ago, Celtic have been shafted more than any club in the Scottish Premiership, I believe. And you can get through the whole catalogue of decisions. Other clubs will do the same thing. But I've watched a lot of Celtic games and I've watched a lot of VAR decisions go against them. And so I think, and I think Celtic have just decided a totten-up procedure. Enough's enough. And they'll back their manager to the hilt on this. Because, as I say, it's a rare occasion where the manager has had to come out and really dig referees, and he's never ever did that in his managerial career, to my knowledge.
You're not getting any disagreement from me over any of that stuff you say there. As you say, we only see Celtic, but it does seem like, put it this way, if you looked at VAR decisions that have gone for Celtic, marginal calls that have gone for us and marginal calls that have gone against us, like at the moment I can only think of really bad ones that have gone against us. I get that, you know, football fans were all biased to an extent, but and it's kind of fine when you're, it's fine to an extent when you're 9 points clear and the team are battling through it, but when you're in such a tight title race this year where every, you know, every goal matters, every point matters,
Yeah. You
can see why Rodgers has called it out. But anyway, I think we'll move on, because otherwise we will just spend the next 18 minutes talking about that. I think, as I said, Yang facing a two-match ban as things stand, so he's another one who could be missing for Ibrox. I mean, that ban will be put off for now, won't it, while the appeal goes on, so it could well end up being Ibrox, which isn't ideal. What was Cameron Carter-Vickers saying after the game? Because I know his quotes have come out.
He was saying that the arm was put around Yang, and he had a problem with the re-refing of games as well. He said he couldn't understand why Don Robertson didn't stick with his original decision. But he was asked about, Wee Ryan asked him about Yang, and he said Yang was pretty distraught because he's sending off at a big bearing. But he said the guys were like, listen, these things happen. Get your head up. You know, it's, you can't do anything about it. And he actually thought that Celtic played well with 10 men. And with a bit more luck, could have got themselves back into the game. And he was asked about, it could have a crucial bearing on the title race. And he says, no focusing on that. He said, it could do. He said, but he brushed it aside and said, look, it's up to us to keep our focus on all the games and you know, win the points to win the title. So I was quite impressed with that answer, because he didn't dwell on it, you know, as much as somebody might have done. He just said it might. But he was just like pretty dismissive of it. I think he was thinking, look, we've got 9 games to sort of win this title, and it won't all hinge on that. People might look at it, if it does come, if you lose it by a point or 2 points, and say, so be it. But he was quick to point out that it's everything about what the Celtic players do in the 9 games that are left. So I was quite impressed with that. And he was asked about stepping up to the plate, and he said, yeah, in Callum's absence, he's a guy who's a different sort of captain, but he, you know, the onus is on him to sort of, you know, be that leader.
I'm always impressed by Carter Vickers. He doesn't often speak, but you know when he does, it's always interesting things he has to say. He's kind of one of the few players that I really, you know, like to listen to. Sorry, Steve, just pointing out that the appeal apparently will be heard today for Yang. How does Steve know this? Does Steve have contacts inside the is Steve Michael Nicholson? I don't want to put that upon Steve.
It might have been fast tracked. If that's the case, then it will be here today. These, okay, they can fast track them. So
The Oracle, Steve. He knows everything, eh?
Steve's a top man.
Some man. Just a couple other comments at start there. Chilpell saying there are mitigating circumstances in the Rogers case because both decisions were terrible. Helen saying she hopes the Yang ban gets overturned, but she doubts it. Patrick saying got a feeling Yang will get an extra game added on for this. As Steve says, we should hopefully find out today. And Michael talking about, you know, making the audio public, as we were just saying. What do you think the mood is in the Celtic camp after the weekend? I mean, I don't think the team will be paying much attention to what happened on Saturday. They'll obviously just be looking at our own game on Sunday. Disappointment not to win that, but I guess, do you think they'll be having discussions about not being good enough, or will they just have the kind of fire lit underneath them given the decisions that went against them? How do you think they'll be training and stuff?
Was it Harnan yesterday and spoke to Neil Lennon, and he said these are the sort of things that you use as fuel. They have to fuel you and ignite the fire under your, you know, under your in your belly for the next 9 games. And I'd like to think that that's what would happen with Celtic and that siege mentality stuff that we've spoken about. And as I say, Cameron Carter-Vickers was like quite calm about it, so I was quite happy about that because he could have reacted. You know, and he just sort of said, so I think if you've got guys like that around, you just bin it, you park it, you can't do anything about it. What happens in the fast-track decision with Yang and Brendan Rodgers' tribunal, if he's cited, happens. You know, you deal with it. But you just know you're in a fight to the wire, and the emphasis being on fight. So you just got to get fight and get, you know, and you're going to have to battle hard to win the title and, you know, prove that you've got the stomach for it. And, you know, they get a wee bit of a break this week because it's the Scottish Cup, and maybe that's a good thing.
And, yeah, we can take nothing for granted, and I genuinely mean that. But it's a good tie for us this weekend. We're back to Celtic Park. It doesn't feel like we've had many games at Celtic Park recently.
Yeah.
I think we've got another couple in the league coming up. I feel like, obviously, Ibrox is the big one that's sticking out, but we've kind of, and albeit the results haven't always been great, but we've kind of come through our really challenging away days. We had a number of them in a row after coming back from the winter break. You know, Aberdeen, Hibs, Motherwell, Hearts. We have still got Ibrox to go, but the fixtures maybe are a little bit more forgiving. As I say, you know, still one game at a time. We've struggled in many games you'd expect us to win this season. But I think it's what, Livingston away, and we've got St Mirren and St Johnstone at Celtic Park. I mean, that has to be 9 points. But I think if the team, you know, hit the levels they did against Dundee, we'll certainly be taking 9 points there. And then you're just really looking at the derby match, and if you can come away, you know, with at least a draw from Ibrox, you're in with a real fighting chance going into the final 5 fixtures, because I think Rangers fixtures will probably be slightly more challenging than ours. I think they'll probably be sent to Tynecastle again. You can crack your own conspiracies at this point, but they'll probably go to Tynecastle, and they'll obviously come to Celtic Park, and I mean, it's still there to be won.
It's there to be won. And, you know, Sunday was a setback. Yep. Extenuating circumstances for a defeat. Yep. Did they play well? Probably not. So lots of, you know, introspection needing done as well, Hamish. But it's in them. You know, they battered Dundee. You know, they came back from the brink against Motherwell. So those performances are there. I'm not questioning Celtic's fight or stomach because it is there and that they have shown it. I was just sort of disappointed that I didn't see more of it on Sunday. But I just think they get affected by, you know, they let themselves be affected by external circumstances rather than just kind of get together and, you know, show a bit more fighting spirit in that sense. But it's gone. You have to let it go. But it's everything to play for, and I think the manager will be drumming that into them as well, you know, and drumming it into himself. That's right. You know, you get 9 games, and it is you in all those 9 games, Hamish, Celtic players have to leave everything out there, regardless of what happens, right? Did they leave everything out there on Sunday? I'm not so sure. I would question that. Played well in bits of some nice bits of football, but as I say, that's gone. But from now on in, I mean, after the Livingston game, obviously they've got the cup tie, and I think that's a good thing for Celtic, that it's not a league game, and you can breathe, regroup, recalibrate, and then just say, right, you know, we say it a lot, but we're now entering a 9-game season. We've got 9 games to win this title, and they have to go hell for leather in every one of them, and regardless of what personnel is going to be there or not be there, the chips fall where they may. You have who's available, and that is it. And if Yang's out for, what is it, 3 games he gets, isn't it?
2 at the moment.
Yeah. So, and if it's deemed violent conduct, well, it's deemed violent conduct, isn't it?
Yeah, so, 3 games.
And they could add one if they feel that it's excessive force or whatever, or they could...
Frivolous appeal.
Take one away, yeah, frivolous appeal, yeah, that kind of stuff. So, you know, that's. I think it would be in keeping with Celtic this season if one get added, wouldn't it? Something like that, or it get...
Ten get added.
I think it's going to get flung out anyway, so, you know, so we'll see what happens.
I think he'll probably remain with the two, to be honest. A few people just straight... I mean, I don't blame you for this, but jumping on my point, which I did qualify about 8 times to say that we have slipped up in a lot of so-called easier games this season. But anyway, AR saying, why do we keep expecting to win these games when all season we have slipped up? And Chilpo saying, I wouldn't be counting any chickens, which, again, totally fair enough. I'm just...
Well, no, but the bottom line is... It's a situation Celtic now find themselves in. We have to win those three games to win the league.
But there can be no daft drop points in any of those three matches.
They've got to go to Ibrox at least 2 behind, if not, closer. Because as I said, it's now, as I said yesterday, it's coming down to a good old fashioned bottle, you know, and nerves play a huge part. In these things, you know, you've got a team that's been over with players that's been over the course and distance, and you've got a team that's, you know, that's charting new territory under a new manager and trying to see it over the line, and that's another added pressure. So many things could happen, but the thing about it is, you would be more comforted if Celtic's form has been spot on all season. It's not. It's been so up and down. You worry about Celtic control and the controllables, don't you? and winning matches. But the bottom line is, they have to win those three. They have to go to Ibrox with the status quo, if not better.
It's just such a battle. It's not going to be a final 9 matches of the league season that are enjoyable to watch. I think it's going to be a real battle, and Celtic might never reach a top level in the rest of the season, but as long as we find a way to win as many of those games as possible, probably 8 of them potentially needed to win the league, maybe 7 will do it, I'm not sure. I'd certainly be aiming for all 9, but I think if we can, you know, win 8 and draw at Ibrox, we'll certainly be champions. But yeah, part of me's really excited for it, because as a football fan and as a sports fan, I love sport when it matters. That's why I struggled, among other reasons, during the COVID season, because it didn't feel like it really mattered to me because there was no one in the stadiums. This is proper, like, intense, pressurised sport in the end of the season. And another point I'd make, and I know I had a certain club's fan base raging yesterday when I said this, but I don't think it's any surprise that they slipped up so badly and lost on Saturday after winning so many games in a row the minute that we started to look good against Dundee and started to get a wee bit of pressure on them. They faltered. That's going to come again. We just need to make sure we keep winning.
This is the beauty and nature of rivalry, isn't it? Bottom line, it's to the victor the spoils, you know, and it's going to be an exciting title race. But your nerves are going to be shredded. It's always the same. And if you come out on top, it'll be, you know, lots of people saying it's be one of the sweetest per many one of those that you like.
All
but
sweet.
Correct. So, you know, but you just know this team's got the minute to do it. You just have to show it. And But that's your concern and your worry, because they've not been truly consistent at any kind of stage this season, and you're asking them to be consistent down the nine-game stretch, and you're concerned. You know, you can't deny that. You can't run away from that. But yeah. I'm not being fooled by the other side of the city as if they're going to run away with it, because they won't. Because nerves are a massive, massive part in seeing titles over the line. So we'll see who fares best, you know. But as I say, Ibrox is pivotal now, isn't it? It is really pivotal.
Yeah, it's a huge match. Who in the live chat still believes Celtic are going to win the league this season, and who has fallen by the wayside and genuinely thinks it isn't going to be a year? I'm intrigued to kind of get a feeling for what people are saying. I'm sure the comments will fly in a wee second. Just finally, Seamus saying hopefully we get a good crowd at Paradise on Sunday to cheer the hoops on. It's going to be interesting. Like, I don't know, to be honest, if I can be that bothered with the Scottish Cup, given how, you know, important the league is at the moment. But, you know, come Sunday, it's still a big game and a chance to get back to Hampden. Chris is in. Celtic will win this league. That's a bit of a cop-out, Des, sorry to say. We'll still all love Celtic. Yep, true, we will all love Celtic. But come on, answer the question, Des. I want to know your opinion. Are Celtic going to win the league? Welsh Paul believes so. Will is believing. Obey's not feeling it. Just too many slip-ups. Patrick, we can win it, but we're making it hard. Pablo saying if we avoid defeat at Ibrox, we'll win it. Hazel believes. Maestro believes. Rido Man saying maybe. Fair enough. Good answer. Right, we'll move on. Final thing I wanted to mention today. This one's kind of slipped away a little bit. It's not really been reported, but I think it's interesting. It comes with the Press and Journal, and it centres around youth talents leaving Scottish clubs for England. Obviously, we've had a number of these at Celtic, the chief one being Ben Doak, who left for Liverpool. 2022, we got around £600,000 in compensation when he moved to Liverpool. He hadn't signed a professional contract with us. At present, youth prospects in Scotland can't sign a professional deal until they turn 16. However, the Press and Journal report that Scottish clubs are keen to investigate the possibility of lowering that age to 14. Now, the SFA are said to have been asked to look into it, and it's said to be a potential way for Scottish clubs to hold on to their players for longer, or at least receive transfer fees for players that move on. 14 seems quite young to be signing a professional contract for me, but I guess the players aren't going to be on mad money. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I guess it's kind of trying to safeguard yourself, isn't it, Hamish? That if they sign it at 14, then you will get some money if a bigger club comes in at 16. I mean, in the case of Ben Doak, who left for, was it, you say, 600 grand there, yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, that's quite a lot of money for a 16-year-old, isn't it? Yeah. Who's made limited first-team appearances. So I guess it's a kind of way of, you know, because Celtic's seen a conveyor belt of talent leave, haven't they, young guys? You know, and they just, I think, again, they're sick of it, aren't they? So I think clubs are trying to come up with some kind of a fail-safe approach that, okay, if they sign a contract at 14 and they've been with the club for years before that, then you get kind of better development fees or better transfer fees if they get to 16 and they just don't see a pathway into the first team at Celtic. So I can see both sides of that argument, but 14 seems a bit young to be actually signing a professional contract, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does to me, I'll be honest, but... I mean, we'll wait and see. Nothing's been announced here. It's just
I also think that at 14, there's a pressure there if you sign a professional contract at 14, isn't there? That you're going to be
third year at second.
The next big thing types, you know. And I just, you know, there are early developers and late developers in football, aren't there?
Yeah.
So it's, I get what you're saying about the, I know it's just talks and stuff like that, but 14 to me seems a bit, you know, a bit young to sign a professional contract and say you're a professional football player for any club. But I can understand why, because I think Celtic and other clubs are sick of talent leaving at 16, aren't they?
Yeah.
To go elsewhere.
Yeah, it's a fair point you make, because you wonder if Doak had been contracted to Celtic, whether we would have got more than 600,000, because it's a lot for a, what was he, a 16-year-old when he left Celtic? 16-year-old,
yeah.
He'd obviously played a couple of games, but he'd certainly not ever become a first-team player. Just to recap, if you've just joined us or just kind of missed what I said, basically, at the moment, clubs in Scotland can only offer a professional full-time contract to a player once they turn 16. However, clubs are said to be looking into potentially bringing that age down to 14 in a bid to, I think, maybe protect youth prospects a bit more against, you know, English clubs coming in for them. So that may be one we hear more about pretty soon. I would guess it will be. Final comment, Tony, on anything you want. How was Neil Lennon yesterday?
He was great. He always is. He's good value. He was saying he wishes he was involved in the title race. He can't beat it. It's great. He says it's been involved there as a manager and a player, and he loves it all, you know. So I was just like, wow, you know, that's fair enough. And he would like to get back in. He's saying he's biding his time. He says he still thinks he has a lot to offer at 52. His best years in coaching and managing are ahead of him, he believes. So there you go. Yeah, exactly. So I like Neil. He's always good value when he sits down, and you know he says he's enjoying doing the punditry, but that's not what he sees his future. You know, so
that's doesn't give him the buzz that managing does.
I don't think it would. I mean, you ask any player who goes into the media side or who leaves a dressing room, nothing can replace that, to be fair, you know. So I think certainly the character that Neil Lennon is, I think he needs that football, you know, that dressing room as a player or a coach or a manager. I think he needs it.
Cracking no jokes about Neil Lennon potentially being our next manager or anything like that. I'm definitely above that. I thought, good on him.
I thought you would have mentioned Neil Abada.
Do you want to do it quickly? He's not official yet, is it?
It's not official, but Charlotte FC in the MLS, 8 to 10 million. I think 8 million.
So rising to 10 to 11 potentially.
Yeah, rising to 10 or 11. Yeah, which I think given the circumstances, a great bit of business for Celtic, and it's good for the player, isn't it? Caught up in a horrible, horrible situation, and we wish him well. He gives it, and if it does go through, and I expect it to go through, I think Celtic supporters will remember him fondly because he gave them some wonderful moments, didn't he, in the two seasons that Ange Postecoglou was here.
Yeah, managed by Dean Smith, Charlotte FC, the former Aston Villa, Norwich City manager. I think Scott Arfield actually plays for them as well, so he'll be probably rubbing into Scott Arfield if you're about the 3-0 game and all of that stuff.
You'd like to think so, wouldn't you? You'd like to think so, that that's one of the first things they talk about when they meet in the dressing room. So I think it's best for all parties, isn't it? Concerned,
100%. It's not a situation that could continue, and we've dealt with it, and I think we've managed to get a better fee than I was expecting. So we move on and talk about the players who will be playing for Celtic and hopefully are going to lead us to a successful end to the season. That will remain to be seen. Before we go, a big thanks to MPH Group and Navien for sponsoring this morning briefing video. Plumbing, heating, kitchens, bathrooms, that's what MPH Group do. They've still got a Navien boiler promotion for you as well you can check out. Yes, back tomorrow. I'm sure there'll be some more stuff to chat about between now and then. If the SFA are fast-tracking the whole Yang appeal, we'll be able to do that. So fair play to the SFA for doing that for us. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. And, I'll be back with the guys this time tomorrow.